Good evening, listeners. I apologize. This is going to be a somewhat short episode. You're going to find me in a little bit of rare form tonight. It has been a day. So, here we go. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 145 of Little Brother for the 9th of March, 2024. Stay tuned, Little Brother's right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, not necessarily those of anyone else, who may for whatever reason attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Meta, the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, Oculus, and others, is set to start collecting anonymized data from users of Quest headsets. Now, I think that there are two things that are interesting about this. First, is that Meta wasn't doing this already, since, you know, the gathering of data is kind of core to Meta's business model. And the second is that Meta is alleging to satisfy themselves with anonymized data, since the cluster of social media platforms that they operate are all about anything but anonymous data. Regardless, this is their claim, so make of it what you will. Last week, President Joe Biden signed an executive order that attempts to curb the ability of foreign powers to buy data about Americans. Data brokers, as we know, gather and aggregate information about you and me, our movements, preferences, where we live and work, what we do for fun, you know, anything that might be useful to somebody wanting to sell us something. The thing they want to sell you might even be an idea. It might even be propaganda. Which brings us to the foreign powers. Now, I look at this as a step in the right direction. Now do domestic powers, so that they stop doing end runs around the Fourth Amendment, all right? I have talked a number of times about Israeli cybersecurity software company NSO Group and their spyware, Pegasus. One of the targets that Pegasus is capable of acting on is WhatsApp, Meta's offering in the field of secure messaging platforms. WhatsApp and NSO Group have been in a lawsuit over this for about 5 years now. And the judge in the case, Phyllis Hamilton, has ordered the NSO Group to turn over their source code to WhatsApp. Interestingly enough, the code is viewed as an Israeli state secret, and so we may be about to find out what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object. There's news from the world of Signal Private Messenger this week. One of the perennial problems with this secure messaging platform has been that phone numbers of Signal users are visible to anyone that they have messaged. If you are a participant in a group chat, and I'm in many of them, then your phone number has been historically visible to all of the participants in the chat. That's kind of a problem in some contexts. However, A solution to this problem is currently in beta. With the new features, it will be possible to keep your phone number hidden to identify instead via a username. Additionally, contact information will be exchangeable via QR code in a similar fashion to verifying safety numbers. Finally, in the U.S. Congress, the House Energy and Commerce Committee has passed a bill that will prohibit app stores from distributing applications that are controlled by foreign adversaries. If the bill were to be passed and signed, it would most notably impact TikTok, but it'll probably get some others as well. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned Recently. We've got three of them this round. The one that has been the biggest news, and certainly the biggest impact, has been United Healthcare. To sum this one up, Change Healthcare, which is a subsidiary of United, got ransomed in the last week of February, and it has ground their operations to a halt. Right, so who the hell are Change Healthcare? Well, according to Wikipedia, they are, quote, a provider of revenue and payment cycle management that connects payers, providers, and patients within the U.S. healthcare system, end quote. In other words, they move the money. And apparently the metadata about the money. So, the problem is that without them, a very large number of insurance claims can't happen. People are showing up to pharmacies to get their needed drugs, things that literally cannot wait, and having to leave without them because they can't pay for it. One story making the rounds concerns a prescription for Paxlovid, where the patient was able to come up with the needed $1,600 to fill the prescription. But what if that patient had not been able to do so? And I'm sure many aren't. Now, it gets even more colorful. There is some claim on the part of Black Cat Ransomware Gang, who claim responsibility for the hack, that a ransom of 350 Bitcoin was paid. That's about 23 million U.S. dollars at the time of this writing. However, the gang's site promptly went dark with a message claiming that the site had been seized by various government agencies. However, some of the agencies named in the alleged seizure notice, for instance, the British National Crime Agency, say they had nothing to do with it. Yep, it's fake. Oh, it gets better. It seems like there's an affiliate of the gang. In this case, the guy appears to have been actually the one who did the hack, who is claiming that he hasn't been paid his cut. As the saying goes, there is no honor among thieves. In the meantime, Change Healthcare is out $22 million. Give or take a bit, for the 350 bitcoins that they paid for nothing. And millions of patients across the country are learning firsthand just how fragile our healthcare system is. Isn't that nice? Meanwhile, in California, the city of Oakley, famous, I guess, for sunglasses, has declared a state of emergency after a ransomware attack has taken out the city government's IT systems. The attack seems to have been detected quickly and the systems isolated. Oakley is home to approximately 43,000 residents, so I assume that's the approximate number of people affected. However, I think the single most embarrassing pwn this fortnight is a government agency. Now, it's not particularly embarrassing, or at least not unexpected, for a government agency to get hacked, on the grounds that they've got a ridiculously large number of potential adversaries, both foreign and domestic. And on the whole, government agencies have cybersecurity practices that have been, let's say, modest at best. But when you are talking about the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, we have a problem. This agency is, for many cybersecurity professionals, including yours truly, a core source of truth for security-related information, most especially including the bulletins that they publish enumerating the various common vulnerabilities and exploits, or CVEs for short, that one may encounter. You would think that such an agency would have some of the best cybersecurity possible, and I don't know, maybe they do and the attackers just got lucky, but honest, this is just really fucking embarrassing. As usual, we will end the show with a fail of the fortnight. Reddit user SquidKid47, who I assume to be a student at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, caught Big Brother red-handed and ratted him out. In a post to the r/uwaterloo subreddit, they have posted pictures of a vending machine's display screen on which appears a Windows error message. So far, this is not abnormal. Windows is deployed in a wide array of embedded systems for reasons that, frankly, continue to elude me. But in this case, I think it's fortuitous, because the error message laid bare a dark secret that the vending machine was hiding. It had Big Brother inside. At the very top of the error message pop-up, the name of the crashed application was revealed to be nvenda.vending.facialrecognition.app.exe. The pop-up appeared on the screen, superimposed over a picture of the brown M&M adjusting her glasses. The story was followed up by a student journalist named River Stanley, who discovered that the machines are provided by Adaria Vending Services and owned by Mars, the maker of M&Ms. Adaria Vending Services claim that the machines cannot identify any individual person and do not retain photos, rather that the machines are only using facial recognition to determine when somebody is looking at the machine so that it can activate the vending interface. It also appears that the machine makes some demographic estimates and tallies that information for statistical purposes. Right. Regardless, the university is removing the machines, as they should. Had it not been for a software glitch, we wouldn't have even known that the machines had a camera that was looking at people. Our second fail this fortnight goes to Flock Security. I've talked about this company a number of times. Episodes 138, 105, 104, 79. Even did an interview about them in episode 80. But as a memory jogger, what they do is they run a network of automated license plate readers, or ALPRs, some of which they own, some of which they sell to law enforcement agencies or whoever else wants one, like HOAs, apartment complexes, etc. One of their core claims is that they reduce crime. Well, I don't know if they're reducing crime or not, but in Florida, it seems like they might have broken a state law themselves. It seems as though cameras mounted on Johns Pass Bridge, a little bit outside of Tampa, were attached to state DOT-managed infrastructure without proper permission. Alright, so maybe it's a one-time screw-up? Nah! According to Forbes, this has been happening all across the country. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Misdemeanor, Joe Cadillac, The Axe That Slayed Me, Thriller at Play, Michael Bronstein, Julie Bernstein, Azriel, Ed, Psycho, and David for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Punt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 146 will drop on the 23rd of March. Stay safe and be well.
Thing!